Today is the 16th Sunday after Pentecost. The epistle for today is taken from Ephesians chapter 3. Brethren, I pray you not to be disheartened at my tribulations for you, for they are your glory. For this reason, I bend my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom all fatherhood in heaven and on earth received its name, that he may grant you from his glorious riches to be strengthened with power through his Spirit unto the progress of the interior man, and to have Christ dwelling through faith in your hearts, so that being rooted and grounded in love, you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know Christ's love which surpasses all knowledge, in order that you may be filled unto all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to accomplish all things in a measure far beyond what we ask or conceive, in keeping with the power that is at work in us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus, down through all the ages of time without end. Amen. Please stand for the Holy Gospel, taken from Luke chapter 14. At that time, when Jesus entered the house of one of the rulers of the Pharisees on the Sabbath to take food, they watched him. And behold, there was a certain man before him who had the dropsy. And Jesus asked the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, Is it lawful to cure on the Sabbath? But they remained silent. And he took and healed him and let him go. Then addressing them, he said, Which of you shall have an ass or an ox fall into a pit, and will not immediately draw him up on the Sabbath? And they could give him no answer to these things. But he also spoke a parable to those invited, observing how they were choosing the first places at table. And he said to them, When thou art invited to a wedding feast, do not recline in the first place, lest perhaps one more distinguished than you have been invited by him. And he who invited thee and him come and say to thee, Make room for this man, and then thou begin with shame to take the last place. But when thou art invited, go and recline in the last place, that when he who invited thee comes in, he may say to thee, Friend, go up higher. Then thou wilt be honored in the presence of all who are at table with thee. For everyone who exalts himself shall be humbled, and he who humbles himself shall be exalted. These are the words of today's Holy Gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Dear faithful, our Lord loves the virtue of humility. Today we have these words, He who humbles himself shall be exalted. And there are many more times when he speaks about this virtue which is the foundation of the spiritual life. It's even the foundation of faith. To believe, you have to be humble. One day the apostles were wondering amongst themselves, who is the greatest apostle? Is it Peter? Is it James? Is it John? And our Lord takes a child and he puts this child in the midst of them and he tells him, He who is the lesser among you, he is the greater. So this is Christian humility. This is a humility which was not known to the pagans, the Greeks and the Romans. Humility is a Christian virtue. Why does God love humility so much? Well, St. Teresa of Avila asked this question as well. One day in her prayer, she asked, Lord, why do you love humility so much? And he said, Because I love the truth. Humility is truth. St. Thomas says, humility is the virtue that inclines us by reverence towards God to abase ourselves and to remain in the place that we perceive to be our due. So humility is truth. It's recognizing reality, which is also what it's what maturity is. Someone who's immature, they don't recognize the reality. To be mature means that we do. That's why sometimes Someone can be immature when they're 16. They could also be immature when they're 65 because they haven't learned to recognize the reality. St. Francis of Assisi, one night, he spent the whole night praying. Simply, in his prayer was this, Lord, who are you and who am I? All night long, just saying those same words over and over again. So it's the virtue by which we see ourselves as God sees us, to remain in our true place. And what is our true place? What are we? We are creatures and we are sinners. That is the reality. We really are nothing compared to the infinite God, God who is so great. We are creatures. We depend on Him for our existence all the time. Every heartbeat, every breath we take, we depend on Him. And then we're also sinners. We all have this wounded. We were born with original sin. We all have these wounds of original sin. And this is the reality. This is what we are. There was a priest, Father Dion. He wrote many spiritual books. He's a great author. And in one of his books, he gives a very striking example to help realize what this virtue of humility is, of realizing what are we in the sight of God? What is the truth? And the example he takes is interesting. He talks about the TV show, which I think started in the 50s, Candid Camera. And as far as I know, it may still be around. So I don't know. And, you know, Candid Camera, people are filmed, they don't realize it, and then afterwards, after much consternation, they see this video footage of them doing oftentimes silly things, and it's embarrassing and it's funny. But Father Dion in his book, he says, imagine, if we want to know who we are, imagine if from the age of reason, there was a camera on us the whole time, all throughout our lives, our adolescence, adulthood, alone with others, everything we've ever done, everything we've ever said. And then he says, imagine that that film was going to be shown to all of our family and friends, all of our acquaintances. That film is what we are in the sight of God and what we truly are in front of our conscience. So when we put it like that, it helps us to It helps us to be humble, to see the truth. Humility is so important, so we have to ask ourselves, well, how can I acquire this virtue? How can I grow in humility? Like all of the virtues, we have to want it. We have to want to become humble. We have to want to know the truth about who God is and who we are. We have to want to know reality. That's actually the definition of truth, which we learn in philosophy. Truth is the conformity of our mind with what is real, what is reality. And so modern man is so proud. Modern man wants to create his own reality. We become humble by wanting it and asking for it. It is a grace. It's a vision to be able to see. Lord, that I may see. And once we pray for it, of course, God will, He will make us humble. And, you know, perhaps you've experienced this. If you pray for humiliations, that's one of the prayers that will be answered immediately. So you don't have to pray for humiliations, but what we do have to pray for is to accept the humiliations which God sends. Because the only way to become humble is through humiliations. That's what the saints tell us. That's what all the spiritual authors say. There's no other way. If anyone discovers another way, please let me know. But that's it. We have to go through humiliations. It's just the way our human nature is. We have to be humiliated. And this is very important. Remember, everyone is humiliated, but not everyone is humbled. There is a distinction there. Everyone has some humiliations. Even pagans in the world, celebrities, everybody have certain limitations, certain humiliations. But But to become humble, you have to accept them. You have to embrace them. You have to say, yes, Lord, this is good for me. I accept this. Because you can be humiliated and then become impatient, become frustrated, become bitter. But to say, no, this is good for me. Yes, Lord. That's when the soul is purified and detached. So this is the grace we want to pray for, to accept humiliations, the ones which God sends, the ones which are part of our spiritual life, our life. I mean, even just being human, there are a lot of humiliations. We have to accept the humiliation of being ourselves sometimes, accepting who we are, accepting our weaknesses, our faults. How many times the saints, when they talk about perseverance, they say, if you make a mistake, humble yourself, get up, keep going, keep trying. We oftentimes have to accept just the humiliations of our state in life, of our work. I would rather be there, I'd rather be doing this. This is boring, this is monotonous. Well, we accept that humiliation. And our Lord gives us the perfect example for that. Our Lord's whole life was one long act of humiliation. Just becoming man, the incarnation, God becoming man, we can't fathom how humbling that would have been, how humbling that is. And we think of him in that long life, that long hidden life in Nazareth. The second person of the Trinity, day in and day out, is making furniture. He who made the whole world, he made the stars, the planets, he made everything, and he's making tables and chairs, day in and day out. That's humbling. Our Lord humbled himself up until his death on the cross. And so if we want to follow him, if we want to be like him, we have to embrace all of these humiliations. It's part of our imitation of Christ. There is a very holy nun. I think she might be venerable now, venerable or blessed. Sister Mary Walsh, a Dominican, and she says, if we wish to grow in the love of Jesus Christ day by day, let us always put ourselves in the lowest place and take care never to wish for notice. He who hides himself the most among men is the most closely united to Jesus Christ. How different that is from our modern world, the world of phones, of social media, of the selfie, our selfie world. It's all about being noticed. Because the spirit of the world is the spirit of the devil, which is always opposed to the spirit of Christ. The spirit of Christ is one of humility and of being hidden so as to do everything out of love for God. It's not easy to go through these humiliations, to accept humiliations, but many things which are consoling about this virtue is the advantages, the effects of this virtue. And there are so many. Humility makes the soul beautiful. St. Augustine says, where there is humility, there is majesty. And in fact, that's what God wants to do. When God humbles us, he wants to make our soul beautiful, because pride is really the only ugly thing there is. Pride and sin. Pride, which is the root of all sin. Pride makes us ugly. Humility makes us beautiful. Humility makes us happy. As we saw a few weeks ago, talking about gratitude, the less we expect, the more grateful for what we are, the happier we are. And same thing with the more humble we are, the more we realize our place, and the happier we are, because we realize God is so good, and I really am nothing, I'm not important. But I am loved. I am loved, and I have been given so much. And most importantly, humility allows us to love. The purpose of our life is to learn how to love. And to love, we have to forget ourselves. We have to think of God. We have to think of our neighbor, to think of others. Selfishness and self-love always go together. And this is the lesson of our life. We have to learn to forget ourselves. And humility allows us to do that. The more humble we are, the less we think of ourselves. That was the author C.S. Lewis. He said, humility is not thinking so much less of ourselves, it's thinking of ourselves less. It's to forget ourselves. We don't deny what we've been given. We don't deny our talents, our gifts, whatever they are. We recognize these come from God, and they're for His glory. But with them we forget ourselves. We think of Him. We think of His glory. That's what humility does. It allows us to love. And then, of course, love is the only happiness. So, dear friends, we want to have a great desire for this virtue, to want it, and that means to want the humiliations that it demands. And for that, we need courage. We need to be strong. No one likes being humiliated. It's not an easy road. But the Blessed Virgin Mary will help us. She is also our model in this virtue of humility. Why did God choose her to be His mother? It wasn't because she was the most gifted of His creatures. It wasn't because she was the most beautiful. It was because she was the most humble. God loves this virtue so much. St. Therese says that when He sees it, He goes there. God is attracted to humility. It's the only thing which can impress God. How can we impress Almighty God, God who's infinite? The only thing which impresses Him is humility. And Our Lady impressed Him. He chose her to be His mother, to be His spouse. We ask her for this grace today. She who said, He is exalted, He has regarded the humility of His handmaid, and the humble He has exalted. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.